welcome to the Wealthy Coach podcast, where I teach you how to become wealthy AF in your business, your mindset, your coaching, and your life. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. I am a former functional health coach turned online business mentor for health coaches, practitioners, and professionals. I'm here to help you grow the online business of your dreams by teaching you the strategy, the tech, and by helping you cultivate the mindset you need to be a badass health entrepreneur. I'm blunt, I'm to the point, and I'll probably drop an F-bomb or two. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready to become wealthy AF. Hey, my friend, what's up? Welcome back to the Wealthy Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. Super pumped, as always, to be with you today. And today I'm sort of just, I've got a bit of an after hike glow. So if you guys follow me on Instagram, you know I love to be in the mountains. I love to hike. And usually on Monday, you can typically expect several stories on my Instagram stories about all the cool places that I went over the weekend. And this past weekend, I went to an entirely new zone that I hadn't been to before, which was really exciting. So what we did is we spent about 40 minutes hiking to this lake. And this lake I've actually been to before. We camped there last year. And last year when we were camped there, we actually ran into a hiker who was headed up to the mountain above us. And he told us that it was a pretty easy hike and you could kind of scramble up to the top of that mountain. So we thought this year that we would go further and see what we would find. So I was there with Ryan, my partner, and my good friend, Elise. And so we hiked about 40 minutes to this lake, and then we maybe spent about 20 minutes hiking around it. And then we had to go up this little pass. It was kind of rock debris and that sort of thing, but we were actually able to find a little path, because this part of this area is actually part of a bigger hiking traverse that a lot of people do. So it wasn't a super big trail, but it was good enough for us. And we followed that to the next lake. The only thing that really sucked was the bugs were so bad. And I always joke that it has to take a lot of bugs for me to complain, because I'm from the East. I'm from Ontario. And I used to do a lot of canoe tripping, and the bugs in Ontario are like next level. Like nothing compares to the bugs in Ontario. So I always laugh when I'm out west and people are like, oh, the bugs. And I'm just like, no, this is not bad. And so the fact that I actually thought it was pretty bad means that it was bad. Just saying. Anyways, it's fine. We just kind of had to keep moving. And then once we got to that second lake, we had to go kind of up this little pass, and there was a little bit of snow, but nothing major. And we were able to kind of navigate up there. And then once we got to the little pass, we dropped our heavy packs because we were going to spend the night. And then we just hiked up to the ridge line where we had these unbelievable 360 degree views. And there's nothing I love more than feeling like so insignificant in nature like that, where you feel like this little point of attention on this massive landscape. And honestly, it really makes me feel like my problems don't matter. And it really makes me feel connected to God. So I love it. So we spent a bit of time up there. We took all the pictures, saw all the beautiful views. We got to pick out all these different peaks. It was really exciting. And then we hiked back down to the pass where we'd left our bags. And then we hiked over the pass and down to another little lake. And we found this like really epic campsite where it's called bear grass, but it's like this really thick, soft, kind of spongy grass. And it was like so soft, like just the most perfect place to camp next to this beautiful little creek. And it was just so gorgeous. But what happened the next morning was interesting. So when we are camping in bear country, we always hang our food. We usually hang it on a tree. Mostly it's to keep it away from the ground squirrels and the creatures, but obviously it's also to kind of keep it away from the bears. But the truth is, bears can climb trees. Bears have this amazing sense of smell. I just learned that apparently grizzly bears can smell up to 30 kilometers, which is wild. They always know where you are. It's wild. So we hung our food and then we went to sleep. And the next morning I got woken up to bear, bear, there's a bear, there's a bear. And my friend Elise, she had gotten up and went and gotten the food and come back to the campsite. And she was trying to figure out how to work Ryan's stove when she looked up and saw this little baby bear kind of on its hind legs, like kind of peeking over, all curious. And then she saw mom, and it was a grizzly mom and two cubs. And we don't see a lot of grizzly bears. Like, we see a lot of black bears and brown bears. And honestly, I don't worry too much about black and brown bears. We see them a lot. We make noise. They generally stay away. They're easy to scare, but grizzlies are a different story. They're bigger. They can be more aggressive. They're definitely more predators. And, you know, it's not the best to see a mom and her cubs because mama grizzlies are very protective. Any mama bear is very protective of her kids, but especially a grizzly. So I got up quickly out of my tent and I was like stumbling around and they saw us and luckily they didn't want anything to do with us. And with grizzlies, like typically if I saw a black bear or a brown bear, I yell at it. I'd be like, hey, get out of here. And I would yell really loud, like I would be quite aggressive with it. And that's kind of how you want to act with black and brown bears. But with grizzly bears, you don't want to be too aggressive, but you want to stay calm. And this is something my dad ingrained into me from a very young age, is to never turn your back and run from a bear, ever. Very ingrained in me. And so in any bear situation, you always, if you want to get away, you always kind of back away slowly. And with a grizzly bear, you still want to be dominant, but you don't want to be aggressive. So you want to be calm, but really firm. It's nice to kind of use kind of like the base of your voice. You could be like, hey, bear, right? And you want to kind of be loud and like put your arms up, let it know you're there, but not kind of antagonize it and be aggressive and scream at it because you could kind of fire it up. And so Elise did the exact right thing. And Elise has tons of experience in the bush. She's actually the most badass woman that I know. She's been working in forestry for over a decade and has spent tons of time in the mountains. So she knows what she's doing when it comes to bear encounters. And luckily mom saw us and she didn't want anything to do with us. So she just walked away. But what was really unfortunate is they were right there, but I didn't get to see them. I didn't get to see them because I had literally just woken up and I was still cross-eyed. My vision was blurry and I was looking directly into the rising sun because it was coming up right in the direction where the bears were. So I didn't even get to see them. I was so disappointed. Although maybe it would have fired up my adrenaline. I think Elise's adrenaline was kind of fired up for the rest of the morning. But luckily it was a great encounter. It worked out really well and everyone is good. So we had a nice cruisy morning. We had breakfast and then we hiked back to our car. And overall, it was an amazing trip. So I always have this kind of after hiking glow because it's just so exciting. And I'm just already planning the next one for next weekend. So if you guys want to see any of my hiking adventure photos, if you care about that and all the beautiful places that I go to, just follow me on Instagram. My handle is at Kendra Perry Inc. And just check out my stories on a Monday because that's typically when I'm posting that content. All right. So I want to dive into today's episode and I want to talk a little bit about Facebook ads because I've had a lot of people come to me who have started running Facebook ads without really taking any time to really learn Facebook ads and essentially not really knowing what they're doing. And Facebook ads, I mean, they sound great. You're like, great, I advertise and I'm going to get clients, or I'm going to get more followers, that sort of thing. And yes, they are great for that sort of thing, but you don't want to just use them willy-nilly. I don't know why I said that. What is that saying even from? What does that even mean? Anyways, you don't just want to kind of use them unintentionally or ignorantly, okay? Because they cost money and you could waste a lot of money and not get any results. But that being said, Facebook ads can be really powerful. And the reason for this is with social media, we have no control over how many people see our posts, over who sees our posts. We're kind of just throwing our content into the ether and we're hoping that it has an effect on someone. We're hoping that it reaches the right audience, right? There's a lot of hoping and a lot of lack of control. But with Facebook ads, we can completely target who we are showing our content to. And we can also determine how many people we actually want to see our post or our ad or whatever. So there's more control over it. But of course, like I said before, you really want to know what you're doing. So if you are someone who wants to do Facebook ads, and that's never a bad idea, you just want to know what you're doing. So you either want to hire a coach or you want to take a course. Because like I said, just making an ad doesn't guarantee that it's actually going to get you results. Okay. Again, you really have to know what you're doing. They can be a little bit techy and you want to make sure that you have a proper strategy. Now, a cool thing is I've actually decided to bring Facebook ads into Health Coach Accelerator. I'm hoping to release it in the next update. Hopefully that's going to release in October if I get my shit together. But the reason why I decided to bring in Facebook ads, and this is something I've been thinking about for well over a year, is because organic social media has gotten increasingly more challenging. I still think organic social media is very valuable, and I still think businesses can grow their businesses without ads. I have students who do it all the time, but I've noticed just a big shift in the market in the past couple years, and it has gotten increasingly more difficult. And I think these days, because, you know, with COVID, so many people came online, there's more competition, and really COVID drove a lot of content creators. So we are out there competing with the content creators, people who make content for a living. And, you know, as someone who runs a business and wants to work with clients and doesn't want to spend all day on social media, it becomes difficult, because I do believe if you want to grow your business on social media, you do have to be posting a lot. And some people love to do that. Some people are cool with posting often, but other people don't want to do that. And I truly believe that if you are running Facebook ads and you have a good strategy and they're working for you, then you really don't need to be posting as much on social media, which is great. And you can really reduce your time. Obviously, the trade-off is that you have to pay for Facebook ads, and organic social media is free. So it's time versus money. And time is something that we have a limited amount of, and you might have a part-time job, a full-time job, you may have a family, you might have other responsibilities that actually prevent you from devoting a lot of your time to being on social media. Now, that being said, you always still need some level of organic social media. Your paid content should really work with your free content, because the truth is, people who see your ads are going to check you out on social media. So if you have terrible content, your content isn't well branded, if you aren't posting, then people aren't going to take you seriously and they're going to think you're a scammer, right? So you still do need to be posting, but you can greatly reduce the amount you're posting when you have a good paid ads strategy. Okay. So that is why I'm going to be bringing it into HCA. I'm very excited about that. I'm doing a whole overhaul of the course right now, and that update will hopefully release in October if I get my shit together. Okay. So I want to talk first about what you have to have in place in order to even consider getting started with Facebook ads. And then I'm going to talk about a very simple Facebook ad strategy that I believe every coach needs. And then we're going to talk about the tech involved. Okay. So this is really important. I know you guys have heard me harp on about having a niche, like a broken record, but if you are going to run Facebook ads, you need a niche, because Facebook needs to know who you're trying to target. And this is why with my HCA students, I really push them to not only choose a problem to solve, but also to target a specific type of person that can easily be found online, right? So sometimes I'll have a student who's like, well, I want to help holistic-minded women. And it's like, okay, but like, how do you find holistic-minded women online? But if you said, I want to help new moms, well, we can find new moms online. There are groups for that. New moms are looking for very specific products, right? New moms are reading very specific magazines, books, they are listening to specific podcasts, right? It's very easy to find that person online. And that's a really good thing when it comes to Facebook ad, because Facebook ads is all about finding the right audience and sending your ads to the right people. So you have to really understand your target audience, and not only the problem they have and who they are, but their pain points, their desires and struggles. Okay. You have to understand that about your target audience, or you will not be successful with Facebook ads. Okay. Now, because when you're starting Facebook ads, there's all kinds of different audiences that you can create and run ads to, but you need a little bit of time to create them. So when you're brand new, you're actually going to be primarily targeting something called interest-based audiences. Okay. So you're going to be thinking, okay, who's my person and what kinds of books are they going to be reading? What types of magazines do they read? What podcast episodes do they listen to? What influencers do they follow? What products do they buy, right? So a good example, I'm trying to think of a good example off the top of my head, but for example, let's say we'll go with the example that you target new moms, okay? You'd want to think, okay, so how am I going to find new moms? Well, we can start to think about, you could use something like ChatGPT. This is a great tool when you're running ads, and you can type into ChatGPT, what are the top books that new moms read? Right. And then what you can do is you can find all the authors of those books, and then you can go into Facebook and see if you can target them. Now, Facebook doesn't let you target everything. It's actually super random. It's something that has driven me crazy for like 7 years, but Facebook doesn't allow you to just target any author. So if you found 20 authors that your target audience might be reading books from, maybe you would find like 5 of those authors, but you could target people who have shown interest in XYZ author, right? You could also think about what are the big influencers that new moms would be following, right? And you could see if you could target them. So this is why you really need to understand your target audience, because you need to know their interests and who they follow and what they read and what they listen to and where they hang out online so that you can actually find them and send your ad to them, right? So you should not consider running ads until you are very clear on your niche, the person you help, the problem you solve, and you want to know all the things about them. And so a really, really valuable exercise that I have 100% mentioned before on this podcast is to do market research interviews. And that is to literally interview 10 people who fit into your target audience and ask them about their pain points, their desires, their struggles. Okay, this is something that I do in my business every single year. So every year I sit down with 10 people and I interview them, and I want to make sure I am still understanding their pain, their desires, and their struggles. This is how we have clear and concise messaging, okay? So you got to know that. Now, the next thing you want is a compelling free offer that your audience wants. Now, there's lots of different types of ads you can run on Facebook. You can run ads to just get awareness, right? You can run awareness ads, which you would just be running ads to a video just so that people would see it, and then you could retarget those people later. You could run ads directly to a product. But for you as an online coach, the simplest way to use Facebook ads is to actually run ads to a free offer to build your email list. Yes, you can run ads to get more followers on Instagram, right? You can totally do that. But if you are really going to be seriously investing in Facebook ads as a way to grow your business, then the best way to do that is to run ads to a free offer. Okay. So again, this is why we really need to know who our target audience is, their pain points, their desires, their struggles, right? Because we need to figure out what free offer is going to resonate with them. Now, I've talked about free offers on the podcast before, but really what we're going for is something that is very high value, but also is relatively quick to consume. Now, yes, you can run ads to a webinar, which is going to be longer to consume, totally no problem, but that is a more complex ad strategy. It's going to take a lot longer to put in place. There's a lot more tracking. It's definitely not a good type of ad to start with. So the easiest one to start with is to run ads to a free offer. And that just brings me to the next thing I want to talk about, which is the simple Facebook ad strategy that every coach needs. And that's lead generation ads. Okay. Leads are subscribers to your email list. Okay. Leads are not Instagram followers. They are not Facebook likes. They are not LinkedIn connections. Leads are email list subscribers, okay? And so lead generation ads essentially help you get leads to your list. And the best way to do this is to offer a freebie in the ad, and the person will opt into that freebie, and then they will end up on your email list. You have probably done this before. Maybe you've even opted into some of my ads, right? And that freebie should solve a micro problem or a pain point. Because obviously, something like a free guide or a checklist or a cheat sheet, whatever it is not going to solve their entire problem. So if we use the example of new moms who want to get back to their post-pregnancy weight, we're not going to be able to do that with an entire guide. But maybe there is a quick win that we can give them with that freebie. Something that they haven't heard before, or something that they can execute tomorrow and feel better or feel a bit more in control. So that is what's going to work best as a freebie. But ultimately, you may have to test a few different freebies and see what resonates with your audience. Okay. That is a very simple ad strategy that every coach needs. These are a lead generation ad strategy. Now, something else you need, and this is more perhaps mindset related, is the patience to test. Okay. Because no ads expert will ever be able to answer the question, what type of ad is going to work best for my audience? What freebie is going to be best? What image should I use? What copy should I create? Because the truth is, it's kind of random. Things that you think are going to do really well sometimes don't, and things that you don't think are going to do well sometimes do. So Facebook ads is really a testing game. You can't just put one ad out there and expect it to work. Typically, when I start an ads campaign, I will be running 4 different ads to 10 different audiences. So really, that's 40 ads. And then I just turn off the ads that aren't performing and I keep on the ones that are. So you really need this mindset that you have to test. And if it's not working, that's fine. Test something else. Really, really good Facebook ads managers, really, they just do a lot of testing, okay? Now, in terms of tech, what do you need to run Facebook ads? The first thing you're going to need is landing page software. Okay. And I would recommend something like FG Funnels. FG Funnels is the one that I use. I love it. I think it has lots of functionality. I recommend it to my students. And the reason for that is because you want something that's going to load quickly and also something that you can track analytics on, right? Because we want to be able to monitor our landing page stats, right? We want to know how many people are actually opting in based on the number of people who land on the page. So I recommend FG Funnels, but there's lots of other ones out there like ClickFunnels, like Kajabi, all kinds of ones, okay? You are going to need an email list, right? So you need email list software. Personally, I use ConvertKit, but again, there's lots of good ones out there like ActiveCampaign, GetResponse, whatever. You will want an email marketing software, okay? The next thing you're going to need is something called an email nurture sequence, okay? Because what's happening when you are running ads is you are pulling people who are considered cold traffic onto your email list. What that means is they don't know you. They didn't come upon you organically. They haven't been following you for a while. You are essentially just some talking head on the internet. They don't like you. They don't trust you. They just wanted your free thing. So we need to allow them to get to know us. We need to warm them up and show them that we are worth following. Otherwise, they're just going to unsubscribe. So obviously, when they opt into your email list, they're going to get that confirmation email, but then you want to send out a series of emails. And typically, I recommend about 5 emails over 5 days, something like that, maybe 7 emails over 7 days. Like, there's all kinds of different ways you can do it, where you basically introduce people to your philosophy, you provide value, you send them to some of your longer form content. So for example, in my email nurture sequence, I recommend a lot of podcast episodes because personally, I think podcasting is very intimate. It's my longer form content. And I believe if people listen to my content, they'll get a good sense of my personality, my philosophy, how I work with people, and that's going to make them more likely to stick around. Okay. So you're going to want that email nurture sequence. The other thing you're going to want to have in place is a weekly nurture strategy. And this just is your weekly email that you send out to your list. Because once they go through your email nurture sequence, you don't want them to just never hear from you until you tell them to buy your program. And I recommend at least one email a week that you send out to provide value, tell a story, whatever it is. And it basically works to nurture your subscribers. Okay. Now, the final tack that you are going to need is Google Analytics. Now, why do you need Google Analytics? Well, you may not know this. I remember it because I was running ads at the time. But iOS, the operating system that runs iPhone, did an update in, I believe it was the beginning of 2021, and it totally fucked over Facebook ads. And now you may have noticed that when you download a new app, when you open that app and install it, there's a little pop-up that comes up and it asks you if that app is allowed to track you. And you can say allow app to track or please don't track, something like that. And so that was an update that came out in 2021, and that really screwed over Facebook because people can actually opt out of tracking. And the reason why we are able to reach our audience on Facebook is because they track everything, right? We think tracking is all creepy and stuff, but as a business owner, that's what actually allows you to reach your audience. So when iOS did that update, it actually really negatively impacted small business. Because when it's harder to track, what that means is that you need a bigger budget to actually reach your audience. So that change actually favored big business because the Walmarts and the Targets and the Canadian Tires, all they did was up their budget because they have the budget to just blast their ads out to anyone. Whereas you, the small business, you actually have to be really intentional with your targeting. You don't have a big budget. You can't just send your ad to everyone. You have to be really, really targeted with your audience. And so that actually made it really difficult for Facebook ads to track. And so when you go into your Facebook ads dashboard, if you were only relying on that tracking data, and what I mean by that is it tells you, because when we're looking at ads, we want to know which ads are performing best. But the only way we can know which ads are performing best is by the tracking. But Facebook ads tracking is so bad now because of this update that it might only track 30%. So as an example, in the spring when I started running my own ads, I was running ads to a webinar and I was really frustrated with this one ad because I was paying a lot per lead. So I was paying about $12 per lead and I didn't want to be paying that much. And that's what Facebook was telling me, that I was paying $12 for every person to my email list, which is quite high, okay? And I was frustrated, but then I got Google Analytics set up. And as it turned out, because Facebook was under-reporting As it turned out, I was actually getting a much better cost per lead. I was actually getting a $6 cost per lead. So much cheaper. So you do need to set up Google Analytics to track your ads. Otherwise, you will have no idea what's going on because the Facebook ads tracking is really terrible. So iOS really screwed over Facebook with that update, but luckily we can still track through Google Analytics. So you will need to have Google Analytics set up in order to do your tracking. So that is essentially what you need in place. Now, I know this might sound overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Once you kind of understand how it works, once you get all the tech in place, once you get everything in place, then it's actually not that difficult. And we will be bringing Facebook ads into HCA in the fall. So I'm very excited about this. So HCA is really going to double as a Facebook ads course. So if you are someone who doesn't want to spend all day on social media, you don't want to have to post tons and tons of content, and you're okay with putting a little bit of money behind it to reach more people and get more people on your email list, then it will be a really great time to join HCA. And just so you know, even if you join now, you will get access to that update in the fall. And the thing is there's a lot of things you need to do first, like we talked about in this episode, before you can consider running ads. So if you join now, then you would have the next few months to get your things in place. And by fall, that would be a perfect time to start your ads. So if you're interested in joining HCA, just DM me the word biz audit on Instagram or Facebook. My handle is at Kendra Perry Inc. I'm going to take a look at your stuff and I will let you know if you are a good fit for the program. All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Wealthy Coach Podcast. As always, it's been fun hanging out with you, and I will see you next Monday, same place, same time, where I help you become wealthy AF.